Okay, good morning, everybody. So we left off last week. We were talking about the malachas of the Topher and Koreah, which are very much obviously go hand in hand. But today we're going to lengthen that discussion a little bit to see just exactly how hand in hand they do go. What are some of the real, absolute, ironclad connections between the two? And we maybe just split between the two. So much of the sugya revolves around the Gemara that we just mentioned at the very end of the shiur last week. It's a very famous Gemara that appears in Maseches Makos, as well as the fourth preface of the Shabbos. But a Pasech Beis Tzava B'Shabbos, the person opens up a sheet, like a Dalakantros, like a Dalaskatan, would be imagine a Dalakantros without a hole for your head to go in. So it would be kind of hard to put it on. So you take your scissors and you cut out, make a little hole. It's called the Pasech Beis Tzava. You opened up, you cut yourself a place for the neck to go through. So Gemara says one thing is clear is that that's an Issa D'oraisa. What is not clear is which malach exactly that falls under. So that's a big, big question. So what are the two possibilities? So one of the possibilities is, of course, Kareya. That's why we're talking about it now. But the other possibility is Makid Patish. Makid Patish is that, you know, that very, very vague malacha. We can never quite pin down exactly what it is. It seems like Rabbi Weiss has it to say for a Chiddush Baruch about Makid Patish. He says that Makid Patish is the malacha when all other malachas fail. It means any action that we just know is a malacha, it's got to be Yashon Shabbos. And we know that it's called the Dabra Chashim, it's got to be the criteria of malacha, but it's not Chiru Zerah, Kaitz Mavin, no, not one of the other 38, then it's by the default malacha is Makid Patish. So that's a very fascinating insight into the malacha is Makid Patish. But getting back to our story, so the Gemara has the Isser Pasech by Setzavar, and some Rishon learn that the Isser that the Gemara is referring to is the Isser Makid Patish, because I'm finishing the job. I had a sheep, and the sheep was not usable, was not wearable. I had to wear a pair of tzitzis, so there was no place my head to go through. So the fact that I'm fixing up the the hole, that's the Makid Patish Shabbat. So again, Machlekes Rishon, Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. So the Rambam says that the Isser Pasech by Setzavar is Mishum Kireya. And Rashi says that the Isser is Mishum, Mishum Makid Patish. That Machlek is Rashi and Rambam also impacts on another, in a certain sense, unrelated Isser, but the Gemara does connect it to it. Namely, in that same price, the Gemara talks about the Sefer Tzavar, it talks about filling up, stuffing up a pillow. They have like an empty, not a pillow case, but the empty pillow thing itself, and you stuff it up with stuffing, you stuff it up with rags to make it something that's, sleepable, something that's going to be comfortable. So the Gemara says that's a problem. That's going to be potentially malacha d'oraisa, potentially. So what malacha d'oraisa is that going to be? So Rashi says that's going to be malacha d'oraisa makid patish, because when you had a flat pillow, it's very uncomfortable. Now you stuff it up with stuffing, it makes it usable, makes it functioning. So that's considered to be the malacha makid patish. So it happens to be that in the same braisa, Chazal speak about yisur pasech by setzavar and the yisur of stuffing up pillows. Rashi says, why do both of those Yisroel appear in the same Raisa? Because they're both also for the same reason. Those are both examples of Makid Patish. Again, both obviously highlighting a truth that we, of course, know to be true, that Makid Patish has nothing to do with hammers. Makid Patish is what we call Gemar Malacha or Tikkun Mada. It's the final touches on something to make it now functioning, make it workable, usable. That's what the essence of the Malacha is. So therefore, Chazal, in the same breath, gave you two examples, which really have nothing with each other. They're just two different examples of things that are considered to be an act of Tikkun HaKli, of Makid Patish. But the Rambam has a lot of explaining to do, because according to the Rambam, that the Yisr of Sech B'Setzav is not Makid Patish, but rather it's Kireya. Then why in the world does the Braisa lump that together in the same breath with stuffing of pillows? What in the world does stuffing of pillows have to do with Kireya? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you what it has to do with Kireya. It's not really Kireya, it's a Gezeira Shema Yidfor. But we're afraid that if you stuff up your pillows, then you're going to want to sew up the stitching at the end to make sure your stuffing doesn't fall out. You have to do it again in the morning. As a fear, as our concern, don't stuff up the pillow, Gezeira Shema Yidfor. Oh, Shema Yidfor, that is a lot. Kareya, Karan Tofro, kind of the same, the opposite malachas of one another. So according to the Rambam, the reason why both of these Isurim appear in the same Raisa is because they're both under the same heading of Karan Tofro. One is a Deraisa Dika Kareya, that's Pesech Vesetavar, and the other is a Derabonim Dika Gezeira Shema Yidfor. But at least they make sense, at least they're Dabra Lom Minyan, at least they're in the same Tashi. So Bein the Fi Rashi, Bein the Fi Rambam, I'm sorry.
So I'm confused with Makan Patish. Is Makan Patish itself a deraisa?
Yeah, and absolutely.
Can it attach itself to a Issa Derabanan and become a Toldah of Malacha of a Issa deraisa? And therefore, I'm sort of confused how you view Makan Patish.
No, Makan Patish is Meshua Din deraisa. It's generally, Chazal used the phrase Tikkun Kli, Tikkun Mana, those kinds of terms, which kind of drop the image of putting the final touches, the finishing touches on something. That's the real Malacha deraisa. There are certain derabbanans of Makan Patish. There are certain things that maybe in the Torah don't meet the standards of being a real Makan Patish for a variety of reasons. Like Lamosha, the Gemara says, Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos and Yom, it's not a deraisa Makan Patish, but it's a derabbanan Makan Patish. It's an ustek Makan Patish. Makan Patish, like any other Malacha deraisa, has its real deraisas, and then it has its gezeiros derabbanan. So, getting back to this story, so we have these two dinim that appear in the Braisa in the same breath, which seem to lead us to believe that they're related to one another. One is ripping open holes for your head for a dal canvas, and one is stuffing up pillows. So, what's the common denominator? Why are they in the same Braisa? So, according to Rashi, because they're both Machmet Patish, and according to the Rambam, because they're both related to Korea of Zofer. One is a Deraisa of Korea, and one is a Gezer of Ramon of Zofer. But leaving outside the pillows for a minute, back to our story, everybody agrees that to cut the hole in the baguette is an outright deraisa. The Gemara says, chayim, chayim, skil, chayim, that's not a question that a pasuk says it's tzav b'shabbos is going to be chayim. But there is a big, big problem that the Rishonim raise, which really gets the ball rolling for us again, and that is a question on Shitas Rashi. If Rashi had to go almost like to left field and to refine the malacha of Makan Patish, it would appear that there was something problematic with the malacha of Kareya here. That if I were to ask you, which malacha is this? I'm taking a scissors and I'm cutting fabric, I'm cutting an article of clothing. So my initial reaction would be that this is very Kareya oriented. So Rashi somehow ignores that. Rashi goes down a different path. Rashi says, forget about Korea. There's no deraisa Korea. What's the loch deraisa? The loch deraisa is Makmatish. So why did Rashi have to go around to left field to try to find a different malacha? What was wrong? So what was missing? What was lacking with the malacha of Korea? That's the multi-million-dollar question in the sugya. So the Rishonim suggest, Mother Rishonim explained it as Rashi. Then maybe what's lacking in terms of Kareya is as follows. If you open up the Mishnah, we just had it in Dav Yomi a couple of weeks ago, open up the Mishnah, Dav Ayin Gimel, the Mishnah lists off the Lamedes Malachas, but when it gets to the Malach of Kareya, so the Mishnah says, Kareya Amanas Litfor. A person is Chayev on Shabbos for tearing, for ripping, on the condition to re-sew. That's the phrase that the Mishnah uses. Kareya Amanas Litfor. It's ripping on the condition to restitch. The question is, if that's so important, that Kareya has to be Menas Litfor, so that will explain very well why Rashi veered away from Lachas Kareya. What kind of Lachas Kareya? You're not going to restitch this. The guy just bought a baguette to make tzitzis, and lo and behold, he realized there was no hole that was poked out yet. So he takes his scissors, a Shabbos afternoon, he starts to cut his hole. He's not planning on re-sewing that. Is he going to re-sew the hole? Is his neck inside? Is he going to re-sew the hole? He's not going to re-sew the hole. Obviously, that hole is made to last forever. So that's a classic Kareya Shalom and Aslan for. So Rashi says, that's why it's not Kareya. Rashi says, don't blame it on me. Blame it on the Mishnah. If the Mishnah says you need Kareya and Aslan for, so then this is clearly going to fall short. The problem is that the answer is so obvious. The answer is so posh. It is so clear as day where Rashi veered away from Kareya, because Kareya is missing that major, that critical component of Amanas Litfor. It just makes the Rambam look bad. What was the Rambam thinking? But the Rambam didn't learn Mishnah, the Rambam wrote a page of Mishnah. The Rambam knew what it says in the Mishnah. The Rambam knew that it says Kareya Amanas Litfor. How can the Rambam describe Hosefes and Tzavar as a violation of Kareya if Kareya has to be Amanas Litfor? Where is Amanas Litfor? So we started out 5 minutes ago saying Rashi is difficult. Our starting point originally was, the baseline was, opening up a hole in a baguette is a malach of Kareya. So we scratched our head and saying, how come according to Rashi, he forgot Kareya? So we came up with this great answer. We said, Rashi learned the Mishnah. So we said, okay, once Rashi learned the Mishnah, how come the Rambam learned the Mishnah? So is the Mishnah relevant or not? The Mishnah says, I'm not good for it. Hakam Rashi is taking those words so literally and saying, if Amanasnafor is missing, so then the malach is over. That's what the Mishnah sounds like it's saying. And the Rambam is totally ignoring Amanasnafor. What's going on in this thing? But this is what led all the Gedalia Haredim to develop the following question. The Bialoch and the Mishnah Berurah has this great detail. But this is something already before the Mishnah Berurah, after the Mishnah Berurah, everyone talks about. The basic fundamental question is simply how to read this principle that appears in the Mishnah, the magic words, Amanas Lifor. Mishnah says, Hakareya Amanas Lifor. And not only does that phrase, Amanas Lifor, appear in the Mishnah about Kareya, but actually that phrase, part of the phrase, Amanas, appears in other halachas as well. For example, the same Mishnah talks about Meichek Amanas Lichtov, or Soser Amanas Livnos. There are a whole group of halachas that have that magic phrase connected to them, Amanas, that somehow you have to, it's not enough just to do a maisa in order to violate the halacha. It has to be done with an agenda, it has to be done with a purpose, it has to be done with some kind of a plan. And the plan involves amanas. And the question is, how do we understand this halacha? And then is that, let's say, when you come to Bishul, there's no amavash amanas lechom, atochid amanas kawat, motzi amanas kawat. We don't find that phrase, amanas, by 36 out of the third malachas. Machlekes Rishonim, whether we find one other malach, but 36 out of the malachas don't seem to have the phrase Amanas attached to them, whereas Kareya does, Saisa does, and Machlekes does. The question is, how do we understand the nature of this requirement, so to speak, or if it is a requirement, of Amanas? So this is a major, major machlekes in the Rishonim, as the Mishnah Berurah collects all the different opinions about this, and it basically boils down to the following shaila. Because one can understand these requirements of Amanas in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is the Tzuras HaMalacha Anasim Mishkan. Again, this is we've been learning Baruch Hashem on Shabbos. I think it's already almost for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So we have definitely bumped into this topic once or twice, or about 1,000 times, namely, that the Tzuras HaMalacha has to mimic the Mishkan. It's always tricky to know which parts of the Mishkan you have to mimic and which not, but it's quite possible that this is a part of the Mishkan that must be mimicked. It has to be compared to. It means if that was the Tzuras HaMalacha in the Mishkan, so be it. That's the way it is. That idea of Tzuras HaMalacha B'Mishkan works bein l'kula bein l'chumra. Sometimes we find that the image of the Mishkan is a poter. If it doesn't meet the criteria of the Mishkan, then it's a poter. Sometimes we find the image of the Mishkan is actually mechayek. You could have something that we would have otherwise thought should not be subject to malacha, but if tachlis, that's what they did in the Mishkan, so it's kind of hard to say in al-chayek. Those who are paying very, very careful attention to the Daf Yomi in the last day, as well as paying careful attention to the parsha of yesterday, so may realize what I'm referring to. But the Gemara's whole discussion in Masechet Shabbos, the other day's Daf Yomi, about carrying things above ten tefachim, carrying things in the heads, above the shoulders, all the Megillah, about carrying in a way that maybe would have been potter, and yet certain things in the Mishkan were carried that way. There were certain things that were carried in certain manners. And they're going to have a whole discussion about, fascinating discussion about the height of Moshe Rabbeinu, about just how high off the ground some of the things that were carrying the end of Pashas also really were. So the other Gemara is using the Mishkan as a mechayek. Every once in a while, the Gemara uses the Mishkan as a poter. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, if you carry it in Rishis Ram Akur, you carry it in a public place, but it has a ceiling on top of it. So by definition, cannot be a deraisa. If you're carrying in the Lincoln Tunnel, so you can have a billion people traveling through the Lincoln Tunnel, but it's still not a deraisa versus around because it's covered, it's makura, because the Mishkan wasn't makura, wasn't covered. The Mefarshim talk about what do you mean? It had a covered, another time, another place. But I'll call upon him. So the Mishkan is the model, bein l'chiyah, bein l'ktur. One can argue that's exactly what's going on here also, that the condition of Amanas Litzvor, for that matter, Amanas Lichta, for that matter, Amanas Lipnois, was part of the Tzuras HaMalacha in the Mishkan of those three Maisim. And therefore, if for whatever reason that condition is missing, the game's over. It cannot be a deraisa. Well, maybe we're not right. Maybe we overdid it a little bit. That the idea of Amanas is not really addressing the issue of Mishkan per se. Amanas is trying to offset another rule in Hilchos Shabbos, a cloud that's going to appear later on in Sukkos in Masechet Shabbos about Kol HaMakalkel and Peturin. The Mishnah says later on, the Yom in a week or so, Kol HaMakalkel and Peturin. If I do a malacha derech kilkol, in a destructive manner, that by definition cannot be chayav. There's no way, any malacha, if I do something in a destructive way, that cannot be chayav. Part and parcel of malachas hamishkan, malachas machshavas, losaska malacha, milcha shabbos, has to be a positive tikkun, cannot be derech kafu. Kol kafu p'turim. I didn't say mutter, I said alav deraisa kol kafu. If that's the case, that kol kafu p'turim, so then I have a very, very easy reason, very simple reason, why you need avanas. If I do an act of kireya that's not avanas lefar, so then in the chomakafu, go to mizeh. If I do an act of moiche, it's not avanas lichtoy, in the chomakafu, go to mizeh. If I even do an act of seisa, it's not avanas lichtoy, in the chomakafu, go to mizeh. So the reason why you require amanas is not because the Mishkan required X of amanas lichtoy, amanas lichtoy, amanas lichtoy. No, it's just that otherwise you're going to be subject to the p'tur. You can be covered by the exemption of kol makaf l'pturin. So my nafkamina, it's a tremendous nafkamina. What if I do one of these three malachas? I do kireya, I do meichek, I do soser. I do it for a very, very good, wholesome, positive reason. Nobody would say what I did was destructive in nature. It was very, very positive, very, very constructive. The only thing is that it wasn't amanas l'tfor. It was some other chashana reason. It wasn't amanas lichtov. It was some other very, very, good positive reason. It wasn't amanas livnos, but it wasn't destructive either. It was from a very, very good constructive positive purpose. What would the din be in all of the above? Should we say that, sorry, unless it's amanas lichtov, lichtov, livnos, sorry, Charlie, that's not the Mishkan and your potter? Or do I say, no, I don't need Mishkan. That's not a game. Mishkan's not the name of the game here. The name of the game is just make sure you do a derech tikkun, not derech kilkul. If you do a derech kilkul, you're going to be potter by default. But if you did a derech tikkun, you're going to be chayav. I'll give you a mashal on the Bedem before we even get to the malacha kireya for a second. The Prima Godim has the following shayla again, malacha's moichik. What if a person is moichik something, not at all amanas lichtov? That's not the goal, was not to rewrite anything. But he was moichik for a very good reason. What kind of person is moichik something? When was the last time you were moichik something for a positive, constructive reason, not to rewrite? So he says, what if you have an IOU note and I paid the person back the money, and he gives you back the shtar, he hands you back the IOU, and I want to make sure this IOU is erased. I don't want to put it into the garbage and get lost. I'm going to find it, I'll bring it back to the mama, to pay a second time, or the second half of Shnai Mochsin, and Bava Tzir is going to come back to life. I don't want to go anywhere near that. I want to make sure that this is erased, this is gone, that no one's ever going to look at this, this IOU note again. So I take out my eraser and I start erasing, scratching away. I'm not planning on rewriting. I'm going to take this IOU afterwards and throw it into the garbage. I'm not going to use this paper to rewrite my notes for my next year on it. So it's not a mech amanas lichtoy. On the other hand, if somebody stops me and says, Rabbi, what are you doing? Why are you destroying the piece of paper? Saying, destroying the piece of paper, forget it. I'm trying to make sure I don't want to pay the guy back $1,000 next time. So that's a very, very positive purpose. That is not a destructive purpose. That is a constructive purpose. The people of God is not sure. Would that constitute a malacha deraisa or not? So that's our shiloh. That's exactly that question. That if you hold that the nature of the din of amanas is an absolute chayk lo yavetz, mishkan, and nothing more, nothing less. And then in the Mishkan, they didn't erase IOUs. They did it amanas lichtav. They ran in the Mishkan when they used to put together the crushim. So they would number the crushim because it's like the guys in the sukkah. Some people have a lot of planks in the sukkah, so you want to, you put arrows and you put numbers and make sure the sukkah looks the way it did the previous year. It was one year where I was left in my own, I guess this was probably before the years of all the helpless from the shul in the early, early years. So I was left to, back in the Rabbis days, even before we came here. So I was left to myself to build our sukkah. At the time, I think we were still in Paramus, so I was maybe a year, maybe 3 years old. So I didn't have too many handy helpers. So one of my brother-in-laws, he shall remain nameless, it would be embarrassing. He came to help me, and the two great construction experts put together the sukkah, only to come to the realization that we had built the sukkah perfectly upside down. Every single keresh was upside down. We also came to the realization it didn't really make a difference because with the panel saw, so I'm excited to make a difference. The Nobody would have known, except when my wife walked in and she said, how come all the Velcro of last year for the decoration is on the bottom of the panels? I said, oh, no, that's new minig that we like to put decoration where no one could see it if they realized that that wasn't the correct answer. So the bottom line is that in the Mishkan they had these problems also, and therefore they drew arrows and they drew numbers and they let it, all kinds of things. So every once in a while they would make a mistake and they had to erase and rewrite. So the Gemara says that was part and parcel of the structuring of the Mishkan, was a little bit of writing, a little bit of erasing as well. So if you really believe in the structure of the Mishkan, you really believe in the Tzuras HaMishkan being the Malacha, and nothing else can be discussed, then you're a really, really big believer in the literal Amanas Lichtav. And therefore, in the case of erasing the Aliyu, you would be possible. But if you think that Amanas Lichtav is just a barometer to measure Tikman versus Kilkul, so then in the case that people got it, presumably you would be Chayav. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's clear that's the Machlokes Rashi Rav. And you see a guy taking a piece of fabric and he takes a scissor and starts cutting a hole in the middle of the fabric. You say to the guy, what are you doing? You're crazy. You're destroying your fabric. I said, destroying my fabric? He said, what do you mean? I'm going to put my head in here in a second. The witness of the prayer says this in a minute. Says that this is a great thing that I'm doing. This is very, very positive. Oh, positive. Yechayim. And that's what the Rambam would say. And Rashi says, no. Rashi says, you are not chayim for kereya. Can't be. It's not amnas lichtav. What do you mean amnas lichtav? But it's positive. Rashi says, so what? Who cares? Positive is not enough. It has to be literally pshuto kemashmo. Say to Rishon Midas Rashi, it has to be literally pshut kemashmal amanas lichto. Oh, I'm sorry, amanas lifor. Anything short of that will not meet the criteria of Mishkan. So therefore, Rashi had to search. Rashi was so bothered with the absolute literal criteria of Mishkan, he had to go search for another malacha, and he dug up the malacha makan patish. So, how are we going to mechriya? How are we going to pass the Mishkan? How are we going to decide who's right, so to speak? It's not like it's Rashi and Rambam. This is a question that's going to permeate other malachas as well. What is Amanas? Is Amanas just offset Kilkul? Was Amanas going to be an absolute chaykliya? So the Chora is a very, very strong raya. I mean, Rabbi Kidegir, maybe you discovered this raya, or the answer of Kidegir highlighted this raya, the very, very powerful raya supporting the theory that Amanas is not the end all. And Amanas lit for is not an absolute chaykliya. Rather, Amanas is almost a way of measuring whether it is a tikkun or a kill. The sugya appears in Masechah Shabbos, actually coming around the bend fairly soon. The Gemara is a discussion about kireya al nesa. The person tears kriya on Shabbos. The din is a person is not supposed to do that. This is not allowed to take kriya on Shabbos, even though there's a mitzvah of kriya. There's a person's close relative dies. There's a mitzvah of kriya. It's most likely to be shown him. Is that a real mitzvah deraisa, or a mitzvah derabanan? The psukim refer to kriya by the Bnei Aaron, by the death of Bnei Aaron. It says, "Bigdechem osifrabu," which Bracha tells Moshe to tell Aaron and Elazar and Tamar not to rip their clothing. The assumption was that they would have ripped their clothing. Why would they have ripped their clothing? Because an obel has to be stolen, so it's kriya. So the Gemara says in the end, "Masechet Sukkot," here we derive. We derive that person is a. It's a shmua, it's an avil, so they have to tear their clothing. So it's not clear in the Rishonim, is that a real midrash? So it's kriya, or it's most probably only midrash. It probably holds it's only midrash. The pasuk is just saying that people used to, it's derech, normal people used to rip their clothing and avilus. Like Rav Mordechai is begadim, Mordechai wasn't avilus, he was being made like an avil. So his kareya is begadim. That was the derech olam to rip clothing. It's a sign, demonstration of avilus. Just because that was the derech olam doesn't mean that he mechoyf to do so. That's the shalom rishon. The Gemara means there's a real din derech. So it's just a din with the rabban. But the nice din is an avil has to tear his clothing. He's not supposed to tear his clothing on Shabbos. What if he went ahead and did? Went ahead and tear his clothing, tore his clothing on Shabbos. So he did a very, very, very serious malacha. So the Gemara says that it could be that that's going to be malacha deraisa. It's very possible that the tearing of your clothing is going to be malacha deraisa. Why is that a malacha deraisa? I'm not so good for shakir. There are many kriyas you're not even allowed to be tefillin. There are details at the end of my kotlin about the person tears from the email, tears from the relatives, when you're allowed to sew up the kriya, not sew up the kriya, but 9 out of 10 times, no one sewing up the kriya anyway. And the Gemara has a statement that kareya meis is chayim. So the person rips his clothing to perform the mitzvah, created a terrible, terrible deed. Chal Shabbos deraisa. Rabbi Kivei asked, what do you mean Chal Shabbos deraisa? It's not a mashal mitzvah. He said, is that going to resew it? How could it be deraisa? Oh, the answer must be that you don't really need amanas tefillah. What do you need? You need for something positive. So what was the positive? That at the end of the day, he fulfilled kriya. Kriya b'shabbos is also to do it, but yotze dekriya, he fulfilled yotze dekriya, so he did accomplish something. He doesn't have to tear again after Shabbos. He was yotze that he did something. It was a terrible thing. He violated b'lacha d'arayis, he performs a very, very low level mitzvah kriya, but he did shalik and did, but it was still technically he did something positive. So if you hold that a manas tefillah is only necessary just to measure, to make sure that we reach the barometer of positive, so then I understand why Korea Amaz was fine. But if you hold that a manas tefillah is fake l'yama, that's the din, kach, nis, v'shigay, that's the tzuris b'loch of Korea, that's the a manas tefillah, nothing more, nothing less, then this is obviously going to fall short. This is for mice, it's not a manas tefillah. It's not going to fly. So then why would the person be, chayef? That's a very, very powerful question. You know, the Chachamim tried very, very hard to try to answer that question. I'll tell you to that. I don't know the answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I know answers that are suggested. I'm not sure I really understand how to deflect that question. It sounds like a very, very powerful question. Gnegu and Shabbos and Gimel has it. Loch quotes others. It's a very, very, very powerful question. It sounds in the Gemara that Amanas, this part, is not really absolutely necessary. It's necessary to offset Kilkul, but there may be other equally valid ways to offset Kilkul as well. It's interesting, in that Gemara, that Tereya al-Nesa, so the Gemara has a similar discussion about Kerev Chamosa. A person tears his tongue because he's angry. So the Gemara says, angry? What a terrible thing. He's angry. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to get angry. It's like, oh, but it's Zora. It's the whole sugya there. And it's Shabbos. But all the terrible Yisurim of getting angry. I'm in the middle of that, so that's when Gemara really, really comes out hard, and people will get angry. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara discusses, okay, so he got angry. Is that called positive or called negative? So the Rambam has a whole discussion about that. Maybe ripping clothes in anger is also called derech tikkun. Why? Because you calm your temper. Now, again, we're not advocating that as anger management. Maybe you should go for get a little bit better a way of dealing with anger than ripping his clothes. But it could be that something positive came out of his ripping his clothes. Instead of punching somebody, he's going to rip his suit. So it's not a good thing, but maybe it's a relatively good thing compared to how bad things could have been. So maybe that's also considered to be a little bit of a tikkun. So that would also be part of this whole discussion, is that is it enough just to label the kareh as a tikkun? As long as you can identify some kind of a tikkun, that's good to go. Or do I say, no, you need much, much more than a tikkun. You need a little mashmo to maintain the tzuras of malach. It's got to be literally amanas nefos. That idea, this question is still somewhat up in the air. There is a chayodom, Shmuel quotes a chayodom that has almost a pshara in this manner. Chayodom, and he tries to fit it into the Lashon Gemara, so Shabbos, chayodom suggests that, what's the answer to the question? Is amanas nefos absolute, or is amanas nefos negotiable, as long as it's derech tikkun? So the Chayyotim suggests that maybe it depends on what you think in general about Malacha Shetzich L'Gufa. This is a term we've used many, many times, that if I do a Malacha, but I don't do the Malacha for the Tachlis that was done in the Mishkan. So let's say, Mar says that in the Mishkan, they would dig holes for the purpose of using the area on building on the build a structure, they want to create this hole in order to store things, whatever it was. So what if a person is chofer gud eira tzach el afra? What if I dig a hole, and I'm not going to use the hole, I'm going to use the dirt of the hole. I need dirt to take somewhere else. So I'm going to dig up a hole to use the dirt. I'm not going to use, I'm going to take inside the hole. So is that a malacha d'oraisa now? For example, say a person is chofer as a kever, a person digs a grave, so that's a chofer as a guma. Mishtamish bar. The base of the hole. That would be a d'oraisa. What if I'm chayfer as aguma? I don't want to use this hole. I want to take the dirt, carry the dirt to another place, new construction somewhere else. So chayfer as aguma beinat zorah afra. So the Gemara says that if you hold that malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa is potter, this will be potter because in the Mishkan they did the malacha for tachlis X. So in order to be chayev, you have to do it for tachlis X. You know the action is the same. It's the same shovel, same utensils, whatever, the same item that I'm using. But the tachlis is different. That's called the malacha she'ena tzrich lagufa. So we spoke about this many times. That's a machlokes HaTanaim, machlokes HaShoinim. That is that deraisa. That's what Chayyodim claims that will chapen afkavina in terms of Ash'ayim. The person is kereya, but he's not kereya amanas for mamish. So if you hold that Melachta Yetzer Guf is Chaya, maybe that would be enough. If you hold that Potter, presumably that would be Potter. How do we hold? So most poskim assume that we follow Rabbi Shimon. Rambam disagrees, but most assume, like Rabbi Shimon, that Melachta Yetzer Guf is Potter. So the Chayyadim's right, it will come out that we are going to insist on Aman Aslid for Mamish. So we can always bring back Aman Aslid for back into the scheme of things. So again, at the end of the day, it's not 100% clear whether Aman Aslid for is absolute Chukli Yavar or ripping for other constructive positive purposes could also potentially be Chayyad. Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. Mishnah Berurah assumes that the emphasis of the Iker is that you don't need Aman Aslid for Mamish as long as it's Aman Aslid Sakit. It's been enough, and not everybody agrees. One of the more fascinating nafkaminas, the Shia would be, practical nafkaminas would be, the issue of ripping toilet paper on Shabbos. Well, everybody knows ripping toilet paper. I'm ripping toilet paper on Shabbos. So it's a very simple question. Is that really their answer? Is ripping toilet paper really truly malacha? I'm not saying it's mutar, but is it really truly malacha their answer? That's a little bit tricky one. So if you hold that in order to be chayav deraisa, it has to be almanas lit for. So I don't have to elaborate on the fact that you're not going to take the paper and then put it back together again. So obviously it's not literally almanas lit for. So if you really believe, like some Rishonim claim it as Rashi, almanas lit for is not negotiable, and ripping toilet paper, ripping paper towels, all that kind of stuff would never really be a deraisa. Again, I didn't say it's mutter, but it would always fall short of being a deraisa, because it's always lacking on Aman Aslid for. But if you hold Aman Aslid for, it's not an end all. Aman Aslid for is just simply a barometer to measure tikkun versus kilkul. So then the only question you have to ask yourself is, am I doing something positive or am I doing something negative? So if I'm doing something positive, I'm going to be chayav. I said I'm Aman Aslid for, who cares? The person rips toilet paper. You don't scream at the guy, what are you ripping toilet? You're destroying the toilet paper roll. I'm joking. You see a guy ripping off the paper towel. What are you shooting? You're destroying the paper towel. That's not kilkul, that's kikul. That's a very positive, good, constructive purpose. So if you hold that all you need is constructive purposes, it doesn't have to be a specific constructive purpose. So then, in Ochinami, then you're going to be chayim. So that's going to be a big, big shout. Again, I'm not advocating ripping toilet paper, Javis, but it's important to know the Maisa, are we dealing with the Deraisa and the Rabban? Why is it so important? Because we have a cloud, the Gemara tells us in the third part of Brachas that there's a principle of covet abrius. There is very machmir in covet abrius. People shouldn't be embarrassed, shouldn't do anything that's humiliating, either to yourself or to somebody else. There is machmir on our covet. So what would it then be if a person has a situation where there's a tremendous tzarech, a tremendous need of covet abrius, and that comes into conflict with the nisa deraisa? The Gemara says that the nisa deraisa, you can't violate. I can't do something that's also in a Torah, even if the other option is going to be suffering great humiliation. Stuff in Chochmah and Tulei Hashem, Gemara says that the person has to suffer the biggest bizyonis not to violate an Issa Deraisa. To be violating some Deraisa, only because of Nefesh, nothing short of Nefesh. But to violate an Issa Derabbanan, Heimam Vemam, Chazal lifted certain Issa Derabbanan under very extenuating circumstances. Certain Issa Derabbanan, they sometimes lifted for Hefzid Mammon, sometimes they're sometimes for Macham Chayle, Macham Tsar, case by case. But there is a cloud that appears in the Tirmid of Rachas that Yisurim Derabbanan were lifted by and large the Kavod Abrius. And one of the classic examples of Kavod Abrius, I mean, if you remember back to the 8th Rebbe of Shabbos, Yomar talks in the end, it was the whole sugi there. It was very hard for us to relate to the cloud. But, you know, in the olden days, outhouses, there was no toilet paper that we deal with today. People had to come up with all kinds of strange, creative ways and literally just maintain basic human, you know, hygiene. So all kinds of different things were used to clean themselves in those days. And many of the things that were generally used were dram shel muktza, rocks, leaves, and lice, all kinds of different things that were used, in the ancient world. So the Gemara discusses in the Shabbos, sometimes you had a situation where the only thing available to clean yourself with was something that was mamish muktza. The Gemara says, it's okay. Covet abrius, you're allowed to violate muktzas on the derabbanan. You can't violate the deraisa. That's what the Gemara's whole discussion is about using the cheres and the atzitz nachlobs and maislach. What is there? Not deraisa. It's a cloud, that whole sugya. Maybe you got all the details in that sugya. The cloud that emanates in that sugya to cloud. Deraisa, you can't violate derabbanan. You can't violate the covet abrius. So the poskim say that you can't violate a deraisa for covet abrius. You can violate a derabbanan. Now the shayla is ripping toilet paper deraisa, is ripping toilet paper derabanan. So what if you have a situation, a guy forgot to set up Shabbos toilet paper, or he's visiting somebody's house who doesn't know the din, not supposed to rip toilet paper, he just went to the bathroom. He finds himself in a hotel in a public toilet. He just went to the bathroom and he realizes there's nothing available to wipe. What exactly is he supposed to do at that point? So if you hold that ripping toilet paper is only derabanan, you can rip the toilet paper and finish. It's no worse than Chazal's permitting you to use all kind of other drums from to wipe yourself. But if you hold that, so then, sit in the bathroom, the whole lot of what you do. You can't bother the malach deraisa just because you're going to otherwise suffer humiliation. So what do you do? So the poskim say what you have to do is, as we've seen many, many times, you have to turn deraisas into derabbanans. That shouldn't be a theme of what you should be doing on Shabbos, but every once in a while, it's important to know that trick up your sleeve. Turn the derisas into the rabbanon. So if you can turn the derisas into the rabbanon, then we can invoke the heter of kavod abrius. The problem is how you do that. So the answer is it's fairly simple. It's called kliach yad. As a general rule of Shabbos, and we know this from COVID, other scenarios, the doctors are well aware of this, that if you can do something kliach yad, that by definition will knock it down to being a derabbanon. And in this case, knocking it down to being a derabbanon would be really, really good for us. Because that will enable you to violate, quote unquote, violate the system of Rabbanan, the Tzorech of Kavod Abrius. So, how do you do that, practically speaking? So, how do you rip toilet paper in the Chayad? So, I'll leave it to your creativity. There are different ways to do it. You can maybe maneuver with your elbows, and maybe you can do it with your teeth, different ways to do it, and without publicizing what you're doing, but try to rip the, because you get stuck in those situations, try to do it in a way. I mean, at worst, only be under Avon, and then you can hide behind the covenant. But according to some Rishonim, you don't even need that. According to Rishonim, that's Rashi, you don't even need that altogether, because it's never deraisa. It's always lacking in terms of amanas. So again, so the major, major discussion we had today was what role Topher has in terms of defining Kareah. According to some opinions, Topher is a critical component, so critical that if it's lacking, then the homolog of Kareah is not Kitzurasim in Mishkan. And other Rishonim, such as Rambam, says there's no such rule. That all you need is it should be derech tikkun, not derech kilkul. And if you suffice that requirement, then you're good to go. Then you're going to be chayav, even if it's a tzav mishum. So this is all assuming for now that this machlokes really exists. I mean, there is a machlokes Rashi and Rambam, but that we have the right beer that all revolves around this question. One could perhaps understand Rashi a little bit different. Maybe we'll pick this up with the Mishnah next week. Maybe another nuance going on in terms of Rashi Shita, which may set the stage for other discussions in terms of Kareah and Teifer as well. So hopefully Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll try to pick up the ends of Kareah and Teifer, which is going to, everything we spoke about now is going to set the stage for the opening of packages. When you talk about opening packages, you have to talk about Bainas, Saisa, Machmah, there are, you can talk about whatever, multiple places. Hopefully we still have all those blocks ahead of us to talk about, but there's a whole career angle of opening particular bags. So hopefully from next week, if we get to that point in terms of the sugya, we'll try to see how some of this is going to begin to impact on the Verla Mice aspects. Okay. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Ready?
Yeah.
I've heard that some posts can say that ripping toilet paper might be mutter as long as you rip not along the perforation.
It's that's a big question. So let me just get